Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking all about boredom. I know we're all pretty bored of the pandemic right now, but we're going to be going through some cool studies that not only talk about the pitfalls and the bad parts of boredom, but some upsides of being bored in the first place. So let's be bored together.
Y'all hopefully you're not bored during the pod, but if so, we're going to bring you a little bit of sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle goodness.
Yeah, I've got a cool study about that. But, I mean, yeah, hopefully the pod isn't boring. Hopefully you're listening to it because you are bored. How are you bored, Greg?
For sure. Like, in general, yeah. The pandemic has made me very bored, I think. And so I cope by reading, writing arithmetic.
Wait.
And I would say that in gens, I'm bored. Like, are you not? I'm just feeling really uncomfortable because I'm like, am I not supposed to be?
I guess I am bored. I think most of all, things are so repetitive.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of, it's not always boredom that sets in for me, but it's monotony, which I guess is probably what boredom is.
Girl, thesaurus, that boredom word, you got monot.
What? No, I mean, like, because I kind of think they're different, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah, because to me, when I actually become bored, and I'll kind of talk about this later in my study, is it kicks me my butt into gear to like be like, okay, I need to go do something else. But because it's monotonous, I'm still doing things. I'm just kind of trapped in doing those things.
Interesting. So you're feeling monotony, but you're not necessarily feeling that bored.
Yeah, because we have phones, we have shows, we're doing all these things.
That's what my study's about.
Okay, well, oh my gosh. Okay, well,
because I think that being bored and monotony are linked, but you're right, they are different. And I shouldn't have said if you thesaurus one, you'll see the other, because the English language, 'tis complex.
And it's actually, they might be. Like, you might look up one and it might be there.
It's so sad, though, because when we do this, we usually start by going like, how's your week? And it's like, I don't know what to say.
It really is the same thing over and over. I'm sure, I know lots of people are experiencing that, where it's just like either day by day or week by week or month by month, and the winter's not going to bring any.
Know what I did because I was bored? I sat under a tree and waited for a great horned owl that is supposed to live in the tree.
See, that's what I mean. Sometimes when you're bored, it makes you go do things.
I don't think I would have done that if it weren't for a pandemic. I wouldn't be like, okay, with my friend, we literally sat under a tree waiting for the hoot of the great.
And did you see it?
No, we did not. But there's a lot of red-tailed hawks around that area. So right before the darkness came, which is when they usually wake up and you hear them in this particular area, we saw this huge bird leave the tree, but I'm pretty sure it was a hawk.
Oh, well, that's so cool.
The hawks are so cool.
But we were kind of like,
we could clock that up to saying we saw the owl, but we're like, no, we want to hear it and see it. And it's really cool. It's in High Park in Toronto in the southeast corner. There are these three really tall trees. Yeah, I kind of was.
I never eat shredded wheat.
I was like, eat shredded wheat. There's these really tall trees because they like really tall trees. There's a mating pair and they don't spend all their time there, but they are there quite often. And many people walking by looked over at us and they said, we know exactly what you're doing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, take me next time.
Yeah, I will.
I know I was invited that time, but I mean, just like, I want to come.
Yeah. And it does involve sitting under a tree and quietly waiting for a bird. But like, yeah.
I think I like excel at that.
Exactly. And it's like, it is not to say that you have to be bored to do that, but it helps.
For sure. Okay. Well, why don't we get into today's episode?
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, I don't know if my what did we learn this week, A, if I fully understand it, and if it's like above my like level of intelligence.
Your pay grade.
My pay grade. Okay, I don't get paid
awesome.
For this.
I love it.
I'm going to like do my best and see where we go. So, astronomers have detected millions of signals from an intelligent civilization.
Okay, where's this QAnon?
I'm sort of burying the lead to hook the listeners and the viewers.
Okay.
But no, it's very, very interesting. So stay with me because I've always been interested in alien life. Like, did you go through those phases where you wanted to like know there was aliens and you'd look at the stars and hope you'd see a UFO and stuff?
So no. always look for shooting stars. And I did kind of, like we've talked about before, get mind blown in Men in Black when they're like, you're in a marble.
But okay, beyond that, not too
no
much.
But you believed in that like Spaceship 93 or conspiracy theory in high school or something.
Spaceship 93.
There's a conspiracy theory that you used to believe in. What
Area
was it?
Area 51.
No, it was like something that like the world was gonna end. It was like had a number
like
or something.
Planet X and stuff.
Yeah, or whatever.
I mean, there's a bunch of different theories. No, I was into that stuff when I was younger. Anyway,
what do you mean into that stuff?
It's like I was like into. There was like so many like conspiracy theories and like people who would pretend to like come from the future to tell you.
Where would you find that?
Like on forums and stuff. Like the internet, the beginning days.
It's QAnon.
Okay, it was the origin of QAnon. Okay,
wow.
I don't know.
Cool.
Either way.
That.
So basically, astronomers have tools to scan the skies, and by skies I mean into the universe for different frequencies that would indicate intelligent life. So they've done that for
some might call it a telescope.
Well, not just a telescope, like satellites and stuff that you would actually read to listen for signals, right?
True.
To hear and see if there are similar types of like radio frequencies coming towards Earth that would indicate from another sun or planet that there was other life that clearly created these frequencies.
Okay.
Because obviously there are lots of different frequencies on Earth. The sun and light is all frequency, but there's certain frequencies that are very specific, we believe, to intelligent life.
5G to
have
frequency.
Like created.
Okay.
So these are called techno signatures. And so
you lost me. I'm kidding.
And the amazing thing is that they can be detected from thousands of light years away. So we can pick up these techno signatures. So if there was alien life, like, you know, 40 like light years away or 1,000 light years away,
okay,
and they were releasing radio waves, we would be able to pick those up. And so okay, that's what we're looking for as the human species with the help of astronomers.
Maybe
so
even a radio telescope.
Okay. Recently, they ran a huge scan across the galaxy, homing in on 31 sun-like stars, and they detected over 26 million technosignatures.
Okay.
Is your mind blown? Are like, you like, is this a conspiracy theory?
I think
okay,
so, but
here's the switcheroo. Okay. Here's the bait and switch. Every one of those signatures was generated on Earth. So those were signatures that would have been projected out from Earth from like, so.
Oh my God. What? So they reflected back?
No. We picked them up from out in. Yes. Basically, it's like we have lots of devices, whether it be radios, microwaves, satellites that create this frequency range that we're trying to pick up to also understand if there's
So we're like going
life
so far into space and being
so,
like, oh, whoops, that was us.
This study was really interesting because they were able to accurately detect and pick up, and then the algorithms were able to accurately decipher that they were anthropogenic. Is that how you say that word?
That is really cool.
Yeah, so it was interesting because at first the algorithm immediately knew that 99.84% were anthropogenic radio frequencies. So that means like we humans created them.
Hmm.
But that left still like 40,000. Then they went through another series of tests and realized, okay, we can confirm that these have also been created from Earth. And cool, then they had 5,000 left. And ultimately they confirmed that these were all made by humans. And
that's
basically
cool,
to confirm or to explain how they know, how would they know it's from aliens? They said, if a signal is detected in multiple directions on the sky, we can be extremely confident that it's anthropogenic. An extraterrestrial signal from an emitter at an interstellar distance would be detected in only one direction.
Oh, interesting.
It's like, I obviously don't understand the full breadth.
Imagine
of it,
they're but like, oh, we found it. And then it's just like, it's like one of your texts to your mom,
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
Like, and just like, what is it?
So I just thought that was
that's
really
cool,
interesting that it's, they are looking for intelligent life or signs of intelligent life.
And it shows
life
you that we are putting out into the universe so many signs of intelligent life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, if like another sign of intelligent or another intelligent life were to come into proximity and have the ability to pick up
signals. Yeah.
Let's assume it's the electromagnetic spectrum that they're working on as well. They'll be like, okay, whoa, there's a lot going down on over there.
And to confirm and sort of clarify, it's not that these signals are being put out intentionally to be picked up. It's just like the signals and the ways that we communicate with radio waves and things like
that's
that.
That's so interesting. That makes me really think so... Like, it makes me think deeply, like, clearly no extraterrestrial life has ever come to Earth.
Right.
You know how people, like, think that? They're always like, or they see, like, a glitch in, like one of those, like, computer things, and they release it, and they're like, the military's hiding it from us. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, if aliens came near us, they would know. Yeah. They would be like, okay, there's people there. And they wouldn't sneaky show up and leave. Like, we would see them. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It's so weird that people think they're just going to show up and leave without us knowing, as if they're sneaky. It's like, no, that's not real.
Yeah, I often think about how if we went to another... whatever galaxy or another star system and found an Earth-like planet, and there were, say, just an equivalent to apes, we wouldn't like be afraid to show ourselves. Maybe if there was something that we thought was equivalent to humans, we might. But I'm just imagining how, like, you know, if there are these intelligent alien species, we probably like aren't as intelligent as them if they've made it to Earth.
Exactly,
and
we're gonna be like
birds to them. They're gonna be like, oh, okay, let's take and a couple of those birds and just like study them. Or why are we hiding ourselves?
But even it's like, who knows? They might even just be like so used to it by now because they are so intelligent. They've been all over the universe, seen lots of life or whatever, and they're just like, oh cool, there's like an Earth. And they would just they would make themselves known. Like, I just think it's so funny because people do bring up, you know, like, and especially a couple videos like that were released this summer, and everyone was like, this on top of coronavirus, and it was just like a random like glitch in a video like from the military. I'm just like, no, like, these aliens aren't sneaky, okay? Like, I'm pretty sure probably that there's a glitch in that random ass military video.
At the end of the day, it's just a really major leap in to be able to detect those signals if and when we find them.
That's cool. Imagine you just hear, and we both get launched up into the two spaceships, never seen again. No one knows where we went. The last thing
we know too much. Although we're the ones being like, they don't exist. So like, we're probably the last ones to be sucked up.
Yeah, for sure. Like, no alien wants this gay, sickly body.
Yes, I'm kidding.
Do you think an alien would want a gay person?
Sickly body?
Like, if you came down, like, would you make the case? Like, you want me, I'm more interesting. Like, you know, you've got all these strengths over here.
You mean, like, to cut you open and study or to have
I don't know. Like, I'm like, do you want to, like, if you want to be chosen, I think I could argue. I'd be like, I'm more of an anomaly on this planet than these other ones. Well, actually, they'd be like, but what's the meaning of life? I'd be like, reproduce. And they'd be like, you seem a little off. I'm kidding. Okay. Well, what I learned about was not that. It was very simple. And it's about the dark-eyed Yunkos in our backyard. And clearly birding.
What about them?
Well, okay. We have bird feeders in our backyard. We have a suet bird feeder and we have a seed bird feeder.
And I'd never heard of suet before.
Me neither, until I started getting into birding, into the birding course. But it's like a fatty substance that's really good for wintering birds. It's like very nice to put out in the winter for birds who are like surviving in this pretty like intense climate. So house sparrows are a really common bird in Toronto, for example, because they have evolved quite well along human development. So there's pigeons are another great example. Gulls, also known as seagulls, mm-hmm. are another great example of birds that thrive with humans, whereas other birds have a harder time. So there is a huge issue with the lack of biodiversity. And I hate to say this, but birds are dying en masse across the world because of human development. So like, take Toronto, for instance, as we expand into the suburbs, there will be a lack of diversity in birds there as we build buildings and destroy their habitats. Mm-hmm. But house sparrows, pigeons, other birds are going to thrive.
It's kind of like raccoons and rats thrive in the city.
Exactly. And I
certain
think
species.
I love all animals. I love rats. I love birds.
Yeah, I didn't mean that as like the bad ones survive. It's just like there are some species that can coexist really well with humans.
Exactly. But there's an interesting thing that happens is that humans start to think of them as pests. And I think it's really interesting because it's like, it's just a mirrored reflection of the damage humans are doing when you start to look at them as pests. It's like
we're the pests.
I also have an issue with that too, because some people are like, humans are the pests. And like, that's how, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole issue with like that as we look at the world. But I would say, yeah, we are more the pests than a raccoon or a rat. But so house sparrows are very common. We see them in our feeders all the time. I love them. I think they're amazing. They winter. They don't fly south. But then these birds started showing up called dark-eyed juncos. And I was like, oh, they're so cute. They're like, they have this like sort of like beige, white bottom, a black top. They have yellow beaks. They're really like cool to look at. You notice them first.
Yeah, they kind of swoop around.
Yeah.
When they're flying, they kind
of
do that.
They're the size of a sparrow. And I think they're like in a similar family. But I was like, this is so interesting. Like, I've never known about them. Like, where do they winter? Like, are they going to go south? Is this their last bit of food? And then I found out they're wintering here because they're from the Arctic. And this is their version of like flying south to Florida. They fly south from the Arctic to Toronto.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought of that.
I know. I mean, it felt so ignoramus. Hashtag, what did we learn this week? I was like, oh my God, obviously birds come south to here because this is like their climate of the summer in the Arctic.
So wait. That seems so weird because we're always like birds migrate to the warmer places, which yeah, you're being like, this is the warmer place for some birds.
For the dark-eyed junco.
Like this cold climate we have is the ideal for them. I just always imagine that like every bird goes to Florida.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Why do we learn this week? Not every bird goes to Florida.
Just thinking how a person in Florida would be like, yeah, like, or I don't know. Why is this melting my mind in a weird way where I just am realizing that some birds migrate to Florida to remain having like the summer temperatures we have here in Florida.
And not, and it's also, it's like, girl, it ain't just Florida.
I'm using Florida. I'm using that as an example of just like directly south from us.
Remember when we love great blue herons here in Canada in the summer, they're these beautiful, huge birds. And we see them like up north. We fly to Costa Rica 2 years ago. Hanging out in Costa Rica, we see this thing. We're like, is that a great blue heron? Well, yeah, it's the literal species comes from near us to the summer in Costa Rica. And we're like, we flew here on a CO2 fueled plane, like dumb pests.
Like,
and this thing flew here and is chilling Costa Rica naturally. It was so cool.
They're so lucky.
Also, another thing, I have obviously, speaking of boredom, I'm not saying it's the only reason I got into birding, but it actually is. And I'm so into birding. And my mom sent me this really cool article about swans that are based more in North Bay, I believe, who now in the winter spend their time in Lake Ontario. But they used to go to America, fly south, like near Florida. But sadly, because of habitat loss and, again, human issues, their population became so small that there was only a few swans left. And then due to conservation, they brought them back. But they only ever really have figured out to go to Lake Ontario, not to go any further south. And because of the way migration works is that you teach your young. As the population grows, none of them have had the instinct to go any further south. It's fine because these conservationists are helping bring them back.
But
we can see these swans right now in winter in Lake Ontario, whereas like before humans killed them all down to such a small amount, they had the capacity and knew to fly further south. Isn't that interesting? Wow,
that's really interesting.
Okay, I love birds.
Birds are pretty cool. Shall we talk more about boredom?
Yeah.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
I know we already talked a little bit about how bored you are. Bored I am. You do birding. I think people generally have a negative connotation to boredom. So
yeah,
I think I do. When it comes to our studies, I do think you should probably go first. But tell me why is boredom bad, do you think? In your personal experience, not necessarily.
My personal experience is like, I think I can remember saying, ugh, I'm bored. Out loud, like.
Out of the womb?
No, like in school and being told like, hey, like, don't be bored. There's all these beautiful things around. I think even my parents, it's like my parents are really active. They do lots of things. It's like taught, like, you know, if you're bored,
like find something to do.
That's your, like, not like it's your fault, but
it just put some work into figuring out how to relieve your boredom.
And I think that's a bit of the ethos of me going birding. It's like, if you're bored, like, I'm like, okay, I need a whole new hobby. Like, actually, I'm more on the extreme end of my relationship with boredom. I think I have friends who have told me, like, you always do so many things. And I'm like, it's because I'm being bored's bad. Like, I innately think being bored is bad.
A negative thing?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know why. Like,
I don't necessarily disagree, but my way to get there is I kind of want to hit boredom. For me, hitting boredom means I got to a stage. Boredom is a motivator for me. So when I get bored, then I go, okay, well, obviously I don't want to be bored. It's not that fun to be bored. So now I might go write music. Like, it helps me to do things yeah. that would otherwise take more effort. So obviously, like, watching a movie, playing video games, easy, because they're just easy fixes going on your phone. But boredom is a key to me doing something that would otherwise feel harder than doing those things.
All right, I was going to sound insane. Like, what does it feel like to be bored? I don't know if I know what it feels like.
Wait, what?
I don't know if I know.
That
it like,
is so weird, Greg.
Well, because I don't know if I even need to keep talking.
Well, you would obviously have an essence of that feeling, or you just think you would literally prevent yourself from getting bored.
I think I might prevent myself from ever
I think you need to try this, and you just need to put your phone away, not do anything, not allow yourself any stimulation, and you'll get bored.
Okay, but wait, what? Oh my god, I'm actually like panicking. My hands
I think
are
with
clammy.
Phones in general, it's given people way more anxiety around boredom. It's like the second you're bored, you have this thing in your pocket or beside you that can alleviate your boredom, and so there's kind of this like anxiety feeling that comes with it now, which I don't necessarily think is the way we've necessarily evolved. Like, I don't think boredom would have that same... I think you would get a really intense feeling if you did that. But I don't think that's necessarily the biological. That's like a learned condition, I think.
So can you describe to me what boredom feels like to you?
Well, I guess once I'm bored, I just am like... I wouldn't call it a pleasant feeling. It's just that the one thing... I don't want to say too many positives because my study kind of goes into the positive aspects of it. But even I'm... at the point where I'm just like, okay, yeah, like I now have to go do something.
I honestly am like, I sound crazy, but I'm like, I don't know if I've ever felt that. I think I preemptively do things to avoid it so deeply. Like, I think I need to go to therapy about it.
There's
like,
something about that. Yeah.
I need to be locked like, in a room.
Did
with
you
nothing.
Have a
I need to go to jail.
Did you have a really negative experience with boredom at some point in your life?
Imagine I started crying.
That it was like, yeah, we don't have to go deep into this.
Did you get triggered
ever that you were like, I don't want to be bored? Because, for example, like I might intentionally try to get bored, but then I don't like sit in my boredom for so long. I then do things.
You know what? I didn't ever have video games growing up. I was never allowed more than I wasn't allowed more than an hour of TV. We didn't have cable. Like, there were these things kind of set up for me to like be bored. Like, I remember playing a lot of imaginary games on my own, just like writing movies in my head, like running around in the backyard, like making up like a full movie about like this like weird cape thing that would go across the earth and you become this like different realm and just like fight plants. Like I think that maybe I dealt with a lot of boredom as a kid that as an adult, it reminds me of my like relationship.
Or maybe you
with,
just have really high level skills to not become bored. Like, no one's trying to be bored. It's just like maybe you didn't have those extra stimulations, so you develop skills to not even have to get bored to do things.
Yeah.
Which is like a nice thing.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. It's just like there's this relationship I have with like food. Like, my parents were very healthy and very like they would just make lots of delicious home-cooked food. And like we didn't have like there was always this thing in our house like they didn't like things with packaging. So we never had those types of like delicious like Pop-Tarts and like fun. Although that was like... the one thing we did have, but like those types of foods like that now that I'm older and can just go to a grocery store and buy whatever I want, like I remember that feeling like when I was in university or like away from home was like wait, I can buy whatever I want. Like, I can buy this cereal, and I went a little like wild, like over the top, that I wonder if maybe that's how like
the
something
boredom
where I am now
is,
it's like I have so much more access to things to entertain me that I'm like going ham, because as a kid, I don't know. This is all
jargon. Well, okay,
jargon.
Let's talk more about, like, you get into your study about the sort of negative sides of boredom first.
Okay.
And we can chat more about it from there, because then when we talk about the positive, then I think we'll be able to have some sort of resolution around what we think.
Cool.
We have been brought up to believe, and then what's good and what's bad.
So mine is going to be a bit inflamed in the sense of negative aspects of boredom, because this study was done during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a recent
study. Oh,
that's
interesting though. Like, yeah. Thinking about how people are bored now.
Now. Okay. So this took place in China 1 week after their first call for quarantine across all the provinces where this survey took place. They're 1 week in to this, gonna say the word of all words, unprecedented time. So it's really interesting to look back on, because it felt very extreme the way they talked for the study, but now I'm like, we've all been doing this.
Right.
We're coming up on a year, because this was in January of 2000.
We could never have related at that time.
Yeah, or like they just, it was just so interesting to see the way they talked about it as so extreme. And actually, right. China's like chilling now. So like they're all like, oh, remember that time? Whereas we're all like, we're in it. But it was 2,135 participants during the outbreak where they focused on a survey about boredom. And the way that they asked them these questions were in four categories. It was about anxiety, stress, depression, and meaning of life.
Okay.
Which I thought was really interesting. So they ask these survey questions to that many people. This is the study. The participants don't know what the study's about. And they have I read all the questions. They're kind of coded in a way that you're like,
you wouldn't like put together what the study is.
You wouldn't put together. And they're actually like really interesting questions, okay. Especially the meaning of life part. But they did start, you know, every study starts with like, why are we doing this? And they did say that boredom is related to obsessive compulsive symptoms, somatization, which is the physical manifestation of anxiety. So sometimes people feel physically sick or ill or have these symptoms that they can't place, but it's actually related to their anxiety. And so that's like an example of what it can cause, which I thought was really interesting. And obviously it's related to anxiety, depression, and stress. They also showed that higher boredom correlates with higher need for information and higher exploration behaviors and media use. Hmm. So essentially boredom was a trigger for using the internet. It's like a bunch
especially when you don't have many other outlets to deal with, right? In a pandemic.
Exactly. And in our society now, they've done a bunch of studies relating boredom to internet use. So like that was just them being like, okay, we're like going to definitely use those past studies as we create these surveys. Mm-hmm. And then meaning of life was defined as a generally stable sense of purpose in life and an accompanying sense of fulfillment. So if you like have that, you're found as someone who like feels like they have meaning in their life. And so what they found was that after they looked at this survey, after this 1 week when people were like kind of like scared or whatever and alone and at home, they found that people were really responding by saying they were bored and that they were having boredom kick in, and it was directly related to an increase in anxiety and stress, but not depression. And then this is the really interesting part, is that the direct link to the increased anxiety and stress was due to the fact that the boredom made them go on their phone. That the boredom in this pandemic made them reach out to media sources, which predominantly was their phone, but sometimes it was their computer, sometimes it was watching the news, was a direct result of the fact that they thought they were bored, stuck at home with nothing to do.
Right.
And so what they found was that link of boredom to media use is what created the stress and anxiety, whereas the depression that was seen in some people had nothing to do with the boredom and the increased media use. That's what they were able to parse out through like a variety of like psychological...
Just to say that the depression was unrelated?
They're like, all we can say from this is that the people who were feeling depressed within this quarantine, it was not related to their media use and boredom.
Okay.
That's just like, that's what they were able to posit. Like
people are more bored and maybe more depressed, but it's not because of the boredom.
Exactly. So it's like if we're talking about boredom today, it can make you more stressed and it can make you more anxious. And they directly said because of media use. Hmm. And then this was the most interesting takeaway for me, which was that people who had a higher sense of meaning in their life were more likely in the pandemic to go on media and their phone.
And who had more sense of meaning?
Who had more. This was the finding where they were like, this was really interesting and not what they thought. People who had more of a sense of meaning in their life were more likely to go on media and therefore end up more stressed and anxious while bored. And they said it's their hypothesis, and they're like, we need to keep studying this, was because when you have a strong sense of meaning in your life, when something like a pandemic happens, they think you are trying to figure out how what's going on can relate to your life. You're wanting to know the information. You're wanting to understand what does this all mean. You're wanting to figure out what your future is. Like you're actually more likely to watch and read the news than someone who maybe doesn't have a strong sense of meaning in their life might find it easier to ignore the news and just like not necessarily cope, but like they were really trying to focus on news consumption, I guess, because they're asking those questions, but were able to stay maybe off their phone more and relate to their boredom in a different way.
Wow, I find that really odd.
Me too. And it was a really great like well-written, fascinating study. Like I encourage people to read it if you want to read it. And yeah, it made a lot of sense as I read it, but I think they were still like, this is just, you know, more and more information that we're going to gather during this insane year. And just now they're like, okay, meaning of life and internet use is somehow linked.
Strong sense.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I can like really connect to that finding, or I have to think about it more. And I don't know where I fall on that spectrum.
Yeah, it says that like meaning in life, people with a high meaning in life felt the need to use their media more. It is thought to try to make sense and understand what was going on. This led to increased stress.
You're saying like to create meaning out of what's happening.
Yeah, like they're just like they're just trying to create meaning likely, and then it led to increased stress and anxiety and more doom scrolling.
Oh my God. I mean, I've definitely experienced a lot of doom scrolling this year. I'm sure everyone has.
Me too. And I think of someone who like is searching for and has meaning in life and is trying to... I think meaning in life is so interesting this year. Like sometimes we go to bed and you're just like, what is this all for? Because it's like, we're just like, like it's really...
It's a life lesson.
Yeah.
It's just like... I mean, you learn those kind of life lessons when there's a loss of life or extreme change in life where you go like, you really just can't count on life to be what you think it's going to be. And that doesn't have to be.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pressing, but it sounds negative, obviously. And I think the pandemic has just shown that for a lot of people, you can't rely on things to always be the way you think they're going to be.
I know.
Or predict what they're going to be like. And life is not in your control, right? And so we're all creating these little bubbles and these little paths that we think we are building. But then something can come and just stop you in your tracks from literally even seeing people you love and want to be with.
It's so wild. I can't wait to like, I mean, I guess we already are looking at these studies. I love reading studies about now and what we're going through, but I can't wait to understand in retrospect through like science and statistics what is happening right now. Because it's like, I actually don't really know what's going on.
So much to come out of this, I think. So much psychological research, so much biological research, so much, like, just actual
so many
research
boring...
on vaccines, on, like, thinking of what this time, and over the next 10, 20, they'll look at our generations in 30, 40, 50 years to see how we've done economically, health-wise. Like, what does a pandemic of this scale do to people? Because I don't know if they did those studies in like 1918, for example. Maybe not. Now I think like they're probably starting those studies.
Oh, you mean during the Spanish flu?
For the Spanish flu.
Yeah, sorry. I was like, that's a
rant. I was thinking of like the last kind of worldwide pandemic.
Everyone knew to wear masks. That's why I'm like, okay, come on, humans. Let's evolve. Let's wear our masks. Because in 1918, everyone seemed to get it.
There were people protesting then too.
Yeah, but they really had great case studies for the places that just took it all up, wore the mask, and did well. You know what I mean? I'm like,
they would still have that.
In 1980, they wouldn't think in 2020 people were like struggling to wear masks.
Yeah.
Like with all the research later. That we know. Like it's really sad. It's really sad.
Oh my gosh.
Also, they're going to make really boring Hollywood movies as they attempt to
over dramatize.
Like, and be like, and they're stuck at home. And like, crickets. It's like, we don't want to watch this Hollywood. Like,
there's
going to
be
out.
Like some version of Room, the movie, but it's like actually no stakes. It's just someone who like is at home.
Yeah, so many flops as they try, and everyone's just like, no, like, figure something else out.
Okay, I have some really cool things to talk about in terms of the positives, and I want to share an interesting story because I've experienced extreme boredom on a show called Big Brother, and I want to talk about that.
True.
But that when we come back from a little break. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like something's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from reaching your goals? Like, I've been really keen to make more music and dedicate creative time to it, but honestly, sometimes I just get really in my head and feel completely overwhelmed. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. The counseling is done securely online and is available worldwide with a broad range of expertise available, some which may not always be available locally in many areas. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions, getting to skip the uncomfortable waiting rooms of traditional therapy, but you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, so you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling with financial aid available. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first month.
Comment Corner.
I'm so happy to have Comment Corner back because I know I made it, but I love that jingle because I kind of stole it from Jacob Collier, that harmony.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that jingle. I love Jacob Collier. I love you.
Oh,
good things all around.
Thank you. But this is a Comment Corner moment, and I'm about to talk about Sarah on iTunes. Left us a lovely little review. She said, love it. Feels like I'm hanging out with my friends, chatting about science. What a great podcast. Listening to this honestly makes me feel like I'm hanging out with my friends, chatting around, while in reality, I'm at work in a lab, mostly alone, thanks to COVID. Anyway, aww, thanks for the weekly treat for my ears.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I have a friend, Jess, if you're listening, who works in a lab, and I just know like that would be an intense experience. Like, there's so much important work happening in labs, but obviously labs of all places are also going to take precautions so seriously. Yeah. Yes. And legitimately, that I hope that this is useful in a situation where you're just kind of alone and working in your space.
Wow, thank you so much for your work. And yeah, tell your lab friends that, like, I would listen to so many podcasts. I'm like, imagine I was in a lab, I would definitely be doing that, especially
if you
alone.
Had like 8 hours to just like work alone and.
You said wear cologne. I'm like, I'm pretty sure cologne. You're not allowed to do that.
No. I mean, because a lot of our work is like. And maybe there is lab work that is this as well, but so much of our work is reading and watching videos and like writing scripts. I can't listen to podcasts when I do that. But I remember when I worked at a lab and was like pipetting and literally like crushing leaves and like taking samples, you can actually be listening to stuff the whole time.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for listening.
I know. Thank you so much. If anyone else wants to leave iTunes reviews or even YouTube comments, like we should start using some YouTube comments to feature. Leave us a little paragraph. We can feature you, shout you out. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it. Helps our indie pod.
Helps our indie pod. It helps our ego. So thank you. And back to the pod. Okay. So I was going to bring up something about Big Brother. For those who don't know, I'm sure you do if you listen to this podcast, I was on Big Brother Canada.
What were they? Didn't you have a nickname? Mitch Muffin?
Yeah, Mitch Muffin.
What was that from?
Just one of the people there just like started saying it.
And then which one?
Raul.
Oh.
Mitch Muffin. And then they like became my nickname in the show. But, okay, so I have like a really vivid memory about this element of boredom because it's a TV show. Obviously, there are really compelling, exciting moments, competitions, like all these things that are exciting, but...
Debatable. I'm kidding.
I don't mean as a viewer. I mean, when you're living it, you're like in a competition. Of course, that's exciting.
Actually, you're right. It is very much when I'm watching, I'm thinking this is a very exciting show. It's not boring.
Yeah, but when you're there, it's over the course. You have so much downtime and truly no books, no pens, no paper, no TV, no nothing.
Oh my God.
You have people around, so of course you can talk, but you know, you start with 15 people and it whittles its way down. And of course you're not talking the whole time. Eventually you're like, yeah, you don't have things
like
to talk about.
How many hours of nothing?
Just like hundreds.
What, hundreds?
Like, not, yeah, over the course of my time there, there was hundreds
of
times.
Or, like, how long would
like,
you go
in? Like, days
in
a row, there would be no, like, there's one one or two competitions a week.
Oh, my God. So
and
you
I don't
go
think
days you, without anything.
Yeah, where you just sit around, you chat, you're strategizing, but you can only strategize so much, and you can only really have, like, fun games that you're trying to make up so much. And so you really come to terms with what it means to just exist and not have distractions and get used to... sort of being comfortable, just kind of sitting around, maybe sitting outside when they have
the
outside
section.
Are you not
thinking like, I'm being filmed right now, I should do something?
I think some people have that occur, but you're there so long that you can't. You can't do that all the time. Sometimes you have the energy and suddenly you're like, yeah, let's do something fun. We're like, we're on a show. Like, let's play a game. Let's do something that would make
people
laugh.
Okay with like you guys like doing that because they want that.
Depends on what it is.
That's when you start a show,
they
man.
They stop you sometimes from like playing games and stuff if it's like taking away from, I think, the live feeds. Because some games can be too like boring to watch, right?
But there's always like that clip. I mean, I feel like I only really watched your season of Big Brother, but Survivor, where they're like, and then they started playing with sticks, and then they all like do something funny, and it's like the little brevity in the episode. Like,
yeah,
don't
but that
they have
can
that?
Last an hour, and you have like 17,
and then they're like, okay, stop, we got
awake.
The cut. Now let's go back to being bored.
No, they don't choose you to be bored. Like, it. What do you mean?
Like, I'm saying, if you're playing, you're telling me that sometimes they tell you you can't play games.
Yeah, because they don't, if you're playing, like, not that there are board games, but there's been times when people try to, like, use toilet paper and make, like, board games, and that's not very interesting to watch.
Okay, and I'm saying like they maybe get their take where they're like, oh, that's our funny little moment for the episode, now you're done.
Yeah, they have their little things that they make more exciting. And then there's actual competitions.
But I get
what
people,
I wanted to bring up.
Sorry, I was going to say, I get why people fall in love and have a showmance.
Oh, for sure. Oh my God. The intensity of a relationship when there's no one else and like you find one person in a house that you connect with.
Oh my God. You should have dated Raul. That would have been fine. I would have let it.
Okay. Well, next time. Now I know. Okay. What I wanted to bring up specifically was that the first 2 weeks were perhaps like, of course you go in, you're so excited. I have never dealt with boredom like that in my life. Wow. To the degree that I remember in the first 2 weeks saying, I would never fucking do this ever again in my life. It's one of the worst experiences.
He said the F word.
Oh my God. Are we allowed to say that on this podcast?
You make the rules, hon.
I just remember having a deep moment of like, why did I do this? I've never been this bored. Wow. I'm miserable because I'm so bored. There's literally no way to relieve my boredom. Like, yeah, I've talked to everyone in this house. We've tried to play games. We've like tried to do random
things. Did you say it to anyone openly? Like, are you so bored?
Oh yeah. We would all talk about it all the time. We would be like, what are we like?
Drinking
I'm
your little
so
like,
bored.
Little like Nalgene
of water. And then I realized you would get used to that eventually. Like it was an acclimatization period of being used to the, you know, the situation at hand and acclimatizing from having phones and from having friends and family and from having TV and the internet. And then eventually I remember being like, oh, this isn't that hard anymore. I'm not that bored. And I got so used to at times just like going to a room on my own and just like sitting for a few hours
and just
like
staring
spacing
at
out.
The wall.
Truly.
And you felt normal by that?
And I remember.
Is that The Shining? Like, did you go crazy?
A little bit. But one of the guys who was in a relationship in the house, like he and another girl. Were
name
like,
names, babe.
Jared and Kelsey. So then Kelsey got voted out and then he went through that. Because he did have someone to keep him
entertained. Because they were flirting.
Yeah, and they actually were like mentally stimulating each other because it was a new relationship, all these things. And I remember the week and the second week or whatever that she left, he was like, I've never felt so bored.
And they were all like, Jared, catch up, bud.
I said to him, I was like, it's because we've all experienced that, but you had this thing to mentally stimulate you, and now you have to acclimatize to being bored.
Wow, having a showmance is something that I see it, I'm like, this is so stupid, as if you could ever do this. Now I'm like, oh, it's a coping mechanism.
For sure. For sure. And as a gay man, you're like, you don't even get the option.
Really. If you could have a showmance with one person on your season, who would it have been? Oh my God, the Big Brother stands are crazy for it.
I'm not going there. There's no one. Ramsey. He was so cute.
Oh,
nice.
I have such a crush on Ramsey.
Great guy. Okay.
Oh, and he was so sensitive and would like cry. And I was like, representation for straight men crying.
All right, but I want to talk about him. The fact that there's research. I can't say that word.
I forgot we were talking about boredom. I was like, I just want to ask you about Big Brother more.
We can talk more about it, but let me talk a little bit about this, and then we can talk more about boredom and the Big Brother host. There's research to show that being bored is not always a bad thing. So it is considered one of the most prevalent emotions yet least studied, which I thought was interesting, or at least that's how this study that I was reading was like presenting it, because it is a regular emotion people experience, but like we don't study it like anger or happiness or depression or sadness, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's just boredness. It's just like this thing. It feels like the absence of something.
And no one wants to be like the one studying boredom when you could be studying anger.
And as we know, it's often associated with a negative feelings or consequences, including studies which show that it can often be related to like risk-taking behavior. So when people are bored, or you think about kids that are bored or not pushed enough, right? Hmm. Often there's like, you might feel this way as a teacher or somebody who taught class. It's like sometimes the kids that are actually too smart end up being a little bit deviant.
That's so funny because so many parents, when they had little shit kids, they're like, he's so they'd smart. Be like, maybe he's bored. I'd be like, no, your kid's a shit. It's so funny. Like, that's such a talking point where they're like, I'm like, no, he's actually like, I'm like, I think I'm worried that your kid might be like a little bit
they're
evil.
Like, no,
they're
just,
like, no, I think you need to challenge him more. I'm like, no, this kid does not want to do science. He's just like a little piece of shit.
But did you know any kids that were just maybe too smart for their own good?
Yeah, but the ones that were too smart for their own good were not the ones that were really bad. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're
like,
right.
I know that you are right. There were the kids who it was like, this person needs to be stimulated more and that's why they're bored. But the ones actually acting out and the ones whose parents were like, my little kid's just bored. I'm like, hun, your kid ain't bored. Your kid's mess.
Your kid sucks.
Yeah, like your kid sucks. God.
Sucks. Okay, no, that's fair. I'm not saying that's an excuse for everyone, but it can boredom can cause deviant behavior.
Yeah, for sure.
But what this study found in particular was that boredom increases creativity, which I thought was interesting. So they found that boredom helped boost individual productivity on an idea generation task. So this study was actually like three different studies where they would create a scenario, make people bored, and see in this case.
How do they make them bored?
I honestly don't know in this moment. I kind of like, they didn't.
They like put them on Big Brother. And
yeah, then and like, then I bet they could study so much stuff on Big Brother. Like I'm surprised if there aren't already like actual published psychological studies using Big Brother as test experiments. So in terms of like coming up with ideas, especially what they found is when someone's given sort of a guided task, obviously when you're bored and you have no constraints and you're just like, what should I do? You might not be as creative, but when you're like, okay, well, then you can do this task. You're allowed to like come up with creative ideas.
The other thing
is boredom did not universally increase creativity for a product development task. Instead, only those individuals with high learning. Okay, this part's going to sound wordy, but there's certain characteristics that it's like boredom was useful for.
Okay.
There's four of them. So it's high learning goal orientation, high need for cognition, high openness to experiences, and high internal locus of control. People who had those four factors, boredom actually stimulated them to go and do other things.
Can you, like, what are examples creative. Of those things?
I mean, I would just be kind of making them up right now. Like, I wrote those down.
Read one again.
So, for example, like, high internal locus of control means somebody who can actually choose what they're gonna do. Like, they have the autonomy. You know, some people are just better at being like, I'm gonna do this thing. So when you're bored, obviously having a high learning goal orientation would mean like, I've hit boredom, that factor kicks in and I am going to now go do that.
Those are traits of people. Like, some people have a high openness to experience.
Yes.
So if they get bored, they're gonna go do something. Whereas someone who's like maybe more anxious, doesn't like experiences, it's gonna get bored and then not go do the thing.
And just waste their time.
Gotcha.
So they were saying like it does in general increase creativity, but obviously there are factors that impact what type of people actually end up being.
I see. So you can get bored, but if you don't have certain personality traits, you might be like, it's really painful and I don't do anything.
Yeah, waste my time. I'm bored. What am I doing? So it's kind of like you can maybe boil those down, and this is just my interpretation, to like motivation, right? So there's certain kinds of motivation that if you're bored, if you have that internal motivation, then you're going to do something.
I mean, okay. That's really interesting. Like, I guess that's so true. And I just had a thought of like, I found my book recently from when I was traveling, and I just had like so many like really cool sketches, like pencil and pen sketches. And I'm like, oh, cause I remember I was just on like long train rides and I was obviously bored and I didn't have a phone. And so I just started drawing and they were good. Like, it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
and that creativity. So there you go. You have been bored before.
But yeah, that's an interesting situation I hadn't thought about. Because when I picture traveling, I picture not being bored. But traveling sometimes
there's moments when you have no choice.
End up like, not.
You're just like stuck somewhere and you have to kill time. And some people would maybe just like waste that time and then feel bad about it. But some people, if they have these kind of internal factors, the boredom can stimulate that creativity. And they had measured sort of like creative thought and creative output to show like they were actually thinking outside the box, which I thought was interesting. It wasn't just that they did stuff. They were measuring whether or not. So they said Boredom as a variety-driving emotion that motivates individuals to engage in novelty-seeking experiences, i.e., like they're engaging in different, often unusual ways of doing things that are unlike typical or predictable responses.
Hmm.
That's very wordy. Ultimately meaning when people had these factors and they were bored, it made them creative because they would start doing things in a way that wasn't what they would normally do. There were creative solutions, like you being on a train and being like, okay, I have to like be creative. Think of something to do. I don't have internet on a phone. I'm traveling, so I can't like be on my phone. I have to find a unique way to stimulate myself. I have a
cool
notepad.
Yeah, it's not all bad. That's true. Like that's
and that kind
of.
But how like,
do you get there now when you're at home and you're in a pandemic?
Honestly, so hard with the internet.
Yeah,
I think. And now the world's more connected than ever. Even when you're traveling, like when we were in university, if we traveled, you wouldn't have internet. But now you could travel and you could just pay your own server, or you could end it up in another country and get a SIM card. And
yeah, or you go to Japan and they're like, here's your Wi-Fi when you get off the airplane.
Exactly. Like, so it's what? So much harder.
Yeah.
But I think I've struggled with that in this pandemic because I know boredom has been a tool for me in the past.
So you're like, I want to get bored, but I have so much access to the internet that I can't.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like when wow. you become, when you get near boredom, of course your body goes, well, then I'm just going to go on TikTok. I'm just going to go on my phone.
Oh.
Just like mitigate that boredom. And so I feel like it's been harder for me to hit that point unless I really create structure and go like, okay, no phone for the next 3 hours, no computer, no TV. I have to like sit on my bed or sit on a couch until I go, this is so boring.
Have you done that?
I have, yeah.
Wow.
But not
I'm like off doing all this
not always
shit.
Successfully because it's so easy to go, well, I'm bored. I'm just gonna check. I have to check my email.
I'm so annoyed that like another thing came along like TikTok. Cause it's like it's so boredom sucking. It's like I'm not ever gonna get bored with another
you
one.
You can't be bored, yeah.
And it's so entertaining. Oh my God.
And it's so easy to switch and immediately get. It is crazy. Like when you are on a television set, you have to click through and then you have to watch for a bit to understand if it will hook you. But a TikTok is.
Oh, you mean watching TV? Sorry, I thought you meant on set of Big Brother.
No,
like he's been on a television set.
No, sorry. I meant when you're flipping through the channels.
Which I haven't done in years.
Exactly. Or if you're just like putting stuff on, you have to give it a bit before you know if you're going to be engaged. And so you could be like, I just think with TikTok, you flip within 3 seconds.
Oh God, it's like busting our neurons.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we are like, I can't even imagine the impact that it has on like, and I remember when I first started using TikTok, I said it before on this podcast, I threw my phone and screamed at one point because I was like, this is new to me. And it hooked me for like an hour and I didn't have control over my, like I looked up and it was 9 p.m. and I started at 8 p.m. and I threw it out of horror. But now I don't throw my phone anymore because I'm just like, oh, that's normal. And it's like what you were saying with Big Brother. You get normal.
You just acclimatized.
You're like, oh, an hour on TikTok? Nothing. Because I like could have been two.
I know. I just think like there, I think Veritasium has a video on boredom and I just can't remember if I watched it. I'm wondering if it touches on this. I want to go watch that. But I do think there is this sort of beautiful power to allowing, like the human brain is kind of meant to get in that stage. Because for example, of the times when I do actually meditate or just sit quietly and force myself to sort of be still, so many creative ideas come up and I go, oh my gosh, oh, I forgot I wanted to go do that thing. And I'm, oh, now I'm hearing music. Like even before bed, laying in bed without a phone, I'll be like, oh my gosh, suddenly all these musical ideas are coming into my head.
Yeah.
And if I could only do that in the day, because obviously when it's nighttime, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm not going to get up and go write a song right
now. I find that too. Like when I'm meditating in the bathtub also is when I get up and then I like go read a book and it feels so thrilling. You know what I mean? Because it's like your brain has like calmed to this place that I like get out and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And I don't even care about my phone because I'm just like, I can't wait to read this book. And it's like, but in the other part of my day, reading a book feels so challenging because there's all these other things. Like it really obviously helps you get to the place to actually like think deeply, which makes me think about what you were saying with like the idea generation and creativity and brainstorming. Being bored is so helpful. And then I just think about all those like weird like productivity dudes and like CEOs and stuff where I'm like, aren't they supposed to be making big decisions? And like, I can't imagine they're ever that bored.
No, they're optimizing on every minute.
I know. And it's like
to not be bored.
To not be bored.
Yeah.
But then I wonder, I know. It's weird.
I think they'll eventually be a turner. There already has obviously
already
been a movement against it, but to really realize, and obviously like sleep researchers know this and people who look into cognition understand breaks. Even people who exercise and work out know it's actually when your body's resting that you're really off. Like, you, if you just work out all the time, you're not going to gain as much. You're not going to actually see that muscle.
Wait, what? I work out all the time. I'm kidding.
Well, there's obviously limits, but some people work out so much, and a really smart athletic person would know, and like somebody who trains well would be like, your rest time is equally as important.
Hmm.
You will not see yourself excel as much if you're just always pushing yourself. And I think it's the same with the brain. And that's why people say vacation, time off, like, or short work week. We were just talking about from like a little while ago, like a 4-day work week, they find people are more productive.
Yeah.
Having the true time to just relax allows you to come back so refreshed.
Yeah.
And not always. Of course, every time you're not like, why don't I have all these creative ideas? But you give yourself the space to have that. And I think it is really unfortunate and sad, and I'm speaking for myself here, like, that my phone consumes so much of my
time. Phone is chips. We always say
phone
this.
Phone is
they're
chips.
They're addictive. They're not healthy.
I'm going to explain that, because I kind of came up with that phrase because I have a... Have we talked about this on the podcast before? I have a crazy addiction to chips, in the sense that if they're in front of me, I cannot stop eating
especially
them.
Especially a salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar. And I'll be full. Disgustingly full. And there'll be other people just like leaving a bowl of chips in the middle of the room at like a party or something.
Your family.
I'm going to eat them all.
Your family's so good at leaving chips.
But I can't.
No, I know. But whenever I go to your house, actually, know what? You're it's not chocolates. Chips. It's like everything else.
It's all sweets.
Yeah.
It's salty is, right. Is our vice, right? So
you're
if it's
right.
there,
sorry,
we're all going to eat it. Oh my God, chips go away in a second.
But your family's really good. And maybe because you know at getting a bowl of chips and then... Done my bowl, whereas like I'm like, get that bag out and let's finish it with, like, let's go hang.
Now that I live alone, or not alone, but now that I don't have parental control, it's like I can't not eat the chips if they're here.
But phone is chips.
Phone is chips.
But it's like so much worse than chips.
Yeah, but it's, I think it's important to remember sometimes you cannot have the willpower to overcome these companies that are intentionally trying to optimize on your attention. So
subscribe to us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you follow ASAP
Science. It's hard. I just think we need to come up with rules for ourselves, and that's everyone listening. That it, like we both just bought alarm clocks that so we don't bring our phone into the bedroom, and that's more than just being distracted by a phone. That's like having good sleep. But
no, I think that's a big thing for me. It's like if you're gonna wake
having
up,
spaces
like, wake
where
up
there
bored.
Are rules. Yeah, and I want to find more rules. Like it sucks because we work on the internet that there's this like this little flip of an excuse that's like, well, I actually have to be on the internet and on my phone because I'm supposed to know and I'm supposed to be engaged with that stuff. But sometimes I do just want to like find a way to like never. I hate that I always have my phone like it's beside me right now.
Well, we're going to do an upcoming episode about like phone vacation or something. And we're going to look into studies about how to do it because I think I need help. So
before we end,
subscribe.
Ask me another Big Brother question because I like actually like talking about it. Okay. And I just want to know, like, what, say something that you like really want.
Okay, I'm going to ask you like a sexual one.
Okay.
So like, obviously you're like trapped in this like home with people.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about Big Brother, but like what, how do they handle sex and like masturbation?
You mean and, the like, people or the producers?
Like the people, like when you're talking about it, like are people like, I'm so horny, like I don't know what to do. Like there's cameras like... And when like Jared or people, like do people ever hook up?
Yeah, people do.
And are they not talking with people? Like, are they like, should we hook up because it's being filmed?
Yeah, that happens. And
okay, I mean, so what are the, I want to know conversations around that.
Well, so, you know, there was only so much that happened on my season. I do think some people potentially
had
undercovers,
sex?
Maybe, or at least were like giving hand jobs and stuff, but not like, but I wouldn't have known at the time.
But was it on the show?
I think there's live feeds of people being like, I'm pretty sure like X is giving a hand job to Y in this scene at night.
Wow.
So like, and obviously I think the people who know the show and the live feeds well, and I was, someone was like, I'm obviously never going to like masturbate under my sheets because I know people are watching.
Whereas that's people, crazy.
Some people are, you know, cast and they're not huge fans. They might have just been curious about
Imagine jerking off under your sheets, not thinking, and then later someone you're being like, oh, I love our little free bedrooms where there's no cameras. And they're like,
Nikki didn't know that. She would, in the first 2 weeks, she would just take her clothes because she was on the British version where they don't have live feeds.
Oh my God, they don't tell you?
No, they do, but she had to constantly be reminded. On the British version, she was like, oh, like they can't show this on TV. And so also I don't mind being naked in front of like the people here.
Okay, so like did you guys ever talk about masturbation and sex and
a
like
little,
how to cope, or was everyone just
but
sort of
it
like,
was more outside the show, like in Jury House and then outside, because it's the show is supposed to be mostly PG, and so I think they don't really, I think it crosses a line even on live feeds for, you can talk about sex stuff, but I think there's like a point where a voice comes on and says like, careful, the live feeds are on, like especially when people,
oh my god,
if people start talking,
but don't they want you to talk juicy juicy?
Yeah, but not like the Canadian version, at least I know, is they have like a certain audience and it can't become pornographic in any way. Like if even the sexual stuff, like they would if it was explicit, they would turn away from it. And even if I'm saying something controversial, like they'll flip away from it.
They're like, it ain't Europe, kids. Keep your clothes on.
But definitely in the American one, there's been full on sex that's happened.
What?
But not like they're under the covers, but it's like not being that hidden.
Has there ever been gay sex?
Not.
I guess because they only ever allow one gay guy, one gay person.
And I should say, like, most seasons don't have sex. They might have. There's been like people in the shower masturbating and stuff that you can like tell they're doing that.
Oh my god!
You can't see.
Wait, but the shower has to be off limits.
But so you can see from here up. Cause,
what's
like,
here?
Like a door is in the way. Oh, sorry, for the listeners, is like to my chest. So you can, in the shower, in case I'm having a conversation with someone, they want to be able to see.
Wait,
us.
They film you in the shower from your chest up.
Yeah.
So if you're masturbating, you just duck down. This is insane.
You could do that, but then people would know. There are bathrooms with no cameras.
Okay.
But the shower is part of the larger.
So people go to the bathroom to masturbate.
You could. There is a camera in there that's never.
What?
So it's okay. We can't talk too much longer, but there's never a live feed in that one. But it's just in case, like, you went in there and took someone to talk privately. They're like, they told us they need a camera in there, but
okay,
they said it's always covered in the camera room, like where they have all the cameras on screens. There's always a thing covering that. So when you're using the bathroom, no one is allowed to look at it. But if I like took you and was like, I want to whisper to you in here, like they need a camera in there to capture that moment.
Oh my God. That is wild.
Anyway,
that was fun. We
sorry,
should do that. Like
big
every
brother
time,
gossip,
little big brother gossip. Cause that's like fascinating.
Yeah. But thank you guys for listening. I'm curious, like, how bored you are in quarantine.
Yeah, let us know. Hashtag Side Note Podcast. And let us know if you want us to do something to, like, phone boredom vacation. Because I think this, like, opened a can of worms for me.
Yeah, and I'm curious. Just suggest ideas for different podcast episodes. I love hearing ideas, and we definitely turn them into episodes. So shoot us a message, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.